Could you open your scriptures, please, to the book of Jeremiah? And in the book of Jeremiah, we'll begin with chapter 43 and verse 1. So Jeremiah chapter 43 and verse 1. Now, you remember last time in the teaching that we had, there was kind of an unusual situation here in that in the beginning of chapter 42 that we had last time, there's a group of people came to Jeremiah. And they said, Jeremiah, you know, we're intending to go to Egypt to kind of get away from it all because Judah is a bad place and there's been some murders around here. And when Nebuchadnezzar hears about it, he may be very, very upset. But we want to hear from God. So you, Jeremiah, go to God and find out what his will for our lives is. And then, no matter what he says, why, we will follow, you know, what the Lord says through you. So then the Lord goes, or rather Jeremiah goes to the Lord. And then the Lord gave Jeremiah a reply. And it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting in this reply. Jeremiah didn't do this very lightly. He sought the Lord for 10 days. It says in Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 7, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah. And so therefore Jeremiah gives him the news. He said, look, the Lord would have you to stay right here in Judah. And if you stay here, the Lord will see to it that you're safe. He does not want you to go to Egypt. And then we close the class with Jeremiah telling the people, but the fact of the matter is, you know, you want to do what you want to do, not what the Lord wants you to do. So he says, I'm going to let you know that when you go to Egypt, you know, you're going to die. So that was the way that the chapter, and kind of a surprise, in that Jeremiah knew that they were asking, but they wanted their own will to be done. And Jeremiah says, you know, you want to go to Egypt, but you're going to die there. So we start there, therefore, in Jeremiah chapter 43 and verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass that when Jeremiah had ceased speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spoke Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men. Now, there's a key there. Proud. All the proud men. See, in other words, there's a pride. You know, you have to be careful of pride. These were inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem, and there was a pride that they had. You got to be careful. Sometimes, even in religious circles, there's a real spiritual pride that comes in. And here, Jerusalem was, you know, destroyed, and yet they still were proud and arrogant. So anyway, it says, and all the proud men sing unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. You know, Jeremiah, you haven't heard from the Lord. So thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. So Jeremiah just got through telling him the message from the Lord, and then Jeremiah said, but you're not going to listen, so therefore you're going to do what you want to do. You're going to go to Egypt, you're going to die there. And they respond by saying, look, you have not heard from the Lord. Now, so that we just see exactly what happened, let's go back to chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. Now, notice what they said there. So in Jeremiah chapter 42, verses 5 and 6, it says, then they said to Jeremiah, after, you know, and they were asking him to go seek counsel from the Lord. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now listen to this. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So they just put it very plainly, Jeremiah, you go, and whatever the Lord says, then that's fine. And I guess they expected that, you know, the Lord is going to tell them to go to Egypt, but the Lord says, look, at my power is so great, I can preserve you here in Judah. But Jeremiah warned them that they had hard hearts and they were going to do what they wanted to do. And so then it says, again in Jeremiah chapter 43 and verse 3, but Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So what they were saying is that your secretary, Baruch, there, he's probably just influenced what you said to us. It didn't come from the Lord. It came from this fellow who has some influence over you, your personal secretary, Baruch, remember, he was the one that was writing down the words that Jeremiah dictated. We've seen him already in this particular prophecy. So verse 4, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, now this would be the guerrilla forces because the primary armies, of course, were defeated. They took, really, in some ways it's took and in some ways it's forced. But anyway, the King James says they took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations where they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. And then it says, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So in other words, they said, look, Jeremiah, you didn't hear from the Lord. You were influenced by your personal secretary, Baruch. And so we're going to do what we want to do. So therefore, they just decided to go to Egypt. And they basically forced Jeremiah and his secretary, this Baruch, to go to Egypt. Verse 7, so they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, thus they came to Tophanes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tophanes, saying, take great stones in thine hand, and hide them in the clay, in the brick kiln, which is at the entrance of Pharaoh's house in Tophanes, in the sight of the men of Judah, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadrezzar, that's Nebuchadnezzar, that's that other variant form of his name. So I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Isn't it interesting how he calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant? And will set his throne upon these stones that I have hidden. And he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. So you see, they wanted to escape from the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Judah, so therefore they just go to Egypt, and the Lord says, now, since they disobeyed me, and they're there in Egypt, you tell them that Nebuchadnezzar is going to take Egypt, and his throne is going to be right here where you folks are standing, and there's a couple of stones are going to be here, and it's going to be a remembrance of the fact that I have spoken this word. Verse 11, and when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them, that would be the people, away captives. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garment, and he shall go forth from there in peace. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar is not going to be injured. There's not going to be no battle scars. It's just that Egypt is going to fall to him, and he's going to leave in peace. 13, he shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. So there it is. Now, the only thing that, there's two comments that I might make about this chapter before we go to chapter 44. Now, the first comment that I might make is, there's a tendency sometimes that people have when they want to do something really that's their own will, and they're stubborn, and yet they have some sense of, you know, believing in God, that sort of thing, that they'll go not to, say, one man of God, but if the man of God that they go to for counsel doesn't tell them what they want to hear, they'll go to the next one. And if the next one doesn't tell them what they want to hear, then they'll go to the next one. And then they'll go to the next one until finally they get the answer that they want. It could be a man or woman seeking, you know, let's suppose someone wants to say, well, I want to get divorced, and there's no grounds for divorce. And so therefore they go to somebody and says, no, you can't get a divorce. And the next one, no, you can't get a divorce. Goes to the third man of God, no, you can't. The third pastor, whatever, no, you can't get a divorce. Well, finally, winds up and says, yeah, I guess it's okay. And then they just really latch onto that person because they were really seeking their own will rather than the will of God. See, people are like that. But here, it's a trait of human nature, and it's a desire to do their own will rather than the will of the Lord. So that was, it was kind of a sad thing. You know, you think they would have learned by the way that the Lord tore down Jerusalem and everything, but no, they still were proud. They still were arrogant. Another thing is that through Jeremiah, the Lord calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. You know, when I read that, what crossed my mind is that we know soon there's going to be World War III, and in all probability, there's going to be a nuclear attack. You know, there's a nuclear exchange, rather, between the United States and Russia. And yet, you know, you might say that each nation is being the servant of the Lord to chastise the other. Because the Lord will take care of the Russians that are seeking him, that have open hearts. He'll take them. They'll be gone already. But yet those that are evil, he wants to punish. And also, by means of the rapture, those who know the Lord will be gone here. And so therefore, those who press the red buttons in these things, they will be really they'll really be the servants of the Lord. Just like Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of the Lord. So, in other words, God will use people and armies and whatever to do his will. All right. Then we continue, and this is chapter 44 now. And in chapter 44, the Lord has a message to the Jews in Egypt. And it says, 44:1, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwell in the land of Egypt, who dwell at Migdol and at Tophanes, and at Memphis, and in the country of Pathros, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, You have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem. Now notice the Lord says that I have brought. He didn't say that Nebuchadnezzar brought, but he says that I have brought upon Jerusalem, and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwells in them, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they want to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Now, one of the gods that serve today is the god of humanism, the god of self, so forth. Howbeit, I sent unto you, the Lord says, unto you, people of Judah, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. You know, as we look at that, it crosses my mind that as we look at 1989 as it's beginning now, you know, there's a real possibility that the Lord could come this year. He may not, but there's a very good chance that he could. We know that we're close. Any way you look at it, we're close. But when you look at Christian television, look how many years ago the Lord started the 700 Club with Pat Robertson that began reaching the airwaves, people that would never go into a church. Look at how long ago the PTL was started. Look how long ago TBN was started, and the thousands upon the tens of thousands of souls that have come. You see, in other words, the Lord has raised up prophets, not in the sense of Jeremiah exactly the way it was in the Old Testament that stood at the gate of the city, but the prophets that are speaking on the airwaves all over the nation and also in the churches and on the radio waves and whatever, warning the people. And now with this terrible thing that's occurring where there's 4,000 unborn children a day that are put to death by their mothers and by the medical personnel that are involved and by their boyfriends and husbands that are also involved or whatever it may be, we see that, thank God, Christians are getting more involved, and there's more and more Christians that are getting involved in these demonstrations that are protesting this, and they're, you know, blocking the entrances to the abortion clinics and whatever, and it's getting to be such a big thing that the press is almost forced to give a little bit of coverage to it. Well, the thing is, you can't be you have to be a thinking person when you look at this and say, well, now look at, why are these people, they don't get anything out of being hauled off to jail, and many times the police are rough with them, and they'll drag them sometimes by their ears into the paddy wagon or whatever. They must really believe that this thing is murder. So you see, it's almost like today, all the forces are going on one side or the other, on the side of evil or the side of good. And the message has been out for quite some time. So just as Jeremiah's ministry was about 40 years, I mean, the Lord has certainly been warning this nation for a long time. And all these sins that I mentioned, you know, they can be repented of and they can be forgiven. Jesus paid for it all. If anyone ever listening to this tape has ever been involved in abortion, it can be confessed before the Lord and it can be forgiven. But it must be confessed as murder. because it is murder, but it can be forgiven and then also forgotten by the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we continue. And so again, verse 4 says, howbeit, Jeremiah 44:4, he says, howbeit I send unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger were poured forth, and were kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Wherefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that you provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt? What? What do we have here? Let's try verse 7 again. Verse 7, therefore, now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why commit ye this great evil against your souls? In other words, Judah is, and Jerusalem are destroyed now. And he says, therefore, now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why commit ye, you people in Egypt, this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that you provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods, listen to this, in the land of Egypt. Good heavens. Do you know what that means? That means that not only did the Lord allow the Assyrian captivity in the northern part of Israel 150 years before the fall of Judah, but when all this took place, exactly as the word of Jeremiah had spoken, the people, as a tiny little remnant, they go off to Egypt and they begin to burn incense to other gods. And you might think in your own heart, won't they ever learn? Won't they ever learn? So rather than repenting because of what God has done, here they are, back again, burning incense to other gods, this time in the land of Egypt. So again, so verse 7, and that you provoke me, the Lord, unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt where you are gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off, and that you might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives? Correction, let's try that again. Verse 9. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration, that'd be kind of like an object of disgust, and a horror, and a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. You know, what we see here, it's almost, would be the same way if, you know, we have many, many things that are just horrible. Let's just grab one thing. Let's take pornographic movies or pornographic literature, that sort of a thing, because it pervades the air that we breathe now in the country that we're in. There's so many things that are allowed on television that would never be allowed before. Okay, so therefore, the rapture takes place, judgment comes on the land, and there's many people that are, of course, consumed in the nuclear holocaust that is coming, that God says is coming. But let's suppose that there's some survivors around, and rather than repenting because God allowed this nation to fall, they just say, hey, you know, where can I find a pornographic movie, or where can I get a pornographic book? It's almost like they never learn. They just go back to the thing that caused the problem to begin with. So we continue, and we have in verse 14 it says, so that none of the remnant of Judah who are gone out of the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to which they have a desire to return, to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. Now, what does that mean, but such as shall escape? Well, you see, that was the translation that we had back there in chapter 43. Now, remember in chapter 43, verse 5, it says, but Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, the guerrilla forces, took all the remnant of Judah. And so, therefore, some, I'm sure, went willingly with him, but some, like Jeremiah and Baruch, they were forced to go. So, therefore, some of them that were forced to go to Egypt by these guerrilla forces, they were able to escape back to the land of Judah. So that's what the Lord means there when he says about they were all going to perish except those who escaped. They escaped back to Judah. And then it says in verse 15, then all the men who knew that their wives, now listen to this, then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women who stood by, a great multitude, even all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Cold heart. In other words, they said, there's no way that we're going to listen. Interesting. Then verse 17 says, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. In other words, we'll say what we want and we'll do what we want. To burn incense unto of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of food, and were well, and saw no evil. So you see, there's an admission here on the part of the people that they were just worshiping other gods. And they said, well, we were doing this, everything was fine. Well, it was fine because God hadn't yet moved against them. One little thing that I might mention also here, this Queen of Heaven was mentioned before, back in chapter 7, verse 18. It's not the first time that we've seen this particular pagan deity, which is, of course, Edumen. But let me reread the footnote that I gave at that time. So this is, let's read Jeremiah 7, verse 18 again. So Jeremiah 7:18 says, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me, that is me, the true Lord, to anger. Now the footnote says, the Queen of Heaven is a term used for a vile heathen deity. Now it's vile because there was all sorts of voluptuous and sensual practices that were involved in the worship of the Queen of Heaven. And it says, so the Queen of Heaven is a term used for a vile heathen deity mentioned only in two passages in the Bible, here and in Jeremiah 44. Well, that's where we are right now. The prophets declared God's wrath on all who worship her. She is probably the same as Ashtoreth, a heathen deity referred to in Judges chapter 2 and other places, where she is called the abomination of the Sidonians. One of the things that is interesting is that although Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a person who was highly favored by God, nevertheless, through the centuries, there has been a lot of praying to her. And even in some places, there has been worship to her, not by all Catholics or Christians, but by some sometimes. But it's interesting that one of the titles of Mary within the Catholic Church is Queen of Heaven. That's one of the official titles of Mary. Now, Mary is not a demon such as this Ashtoreth is by any means. Mary is very favorite of God. But nevertheless, people have just begun to pray to her, and they will say, we'll go to Jesus through Mary. But yet the Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says there's one God and one mediator, not two. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ. So in other words, the Lord is the one that paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, and we can go to Jesus, and because of Jesus we have direct access to God. There's no secretary or anybody that we need to go through. So it's interesting here. Some of the women must have been involved in this too, because there's quite an emphasis upon the wives being involved here in a rather unusual way. In verse 9, the wives are mentioned twice, and the wives are mentioned here in verse 15, and so forth. But at any rate, they were very determined that they were going to continue to do this. Another thing that's of the future that's kind of sad is when the Lord finally pours out his vials of wrath in the second half of the tribulation period. There's a verse there that's really kind of scary. It's in Revelation chapter 16. Go to the last book of the Bible for a minute and look at Revelation chapter 16. And in Revelation chapter 16, fifth bowl of wrath that is poured out is darkness, and then there was great heat in the fourth bowl. Let's take a look at verses 8 and 9. This is interesting. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 8, it says, "And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire." So there's going to be tremendous heat from the sun somehow or other during the tribulation period. And this is, "And men were scorched with great heat," and you might say, "and then finally they repented." No, it says, "And they blasphemed the name of God who hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." So in other words, it's going to be the same thing in the future. Now that's in the second half of the tribulation period, right close towards the time of the Lord's coming. But human nature that gets stubborn is really a bad scene. And here they are. They are in a foreign land, but still they will not repent. So let's go back to Jeremiah 44 again. So Jeremiah 44 and verse 17. So Jeremiah 44 verse 17 reads, "But we will certainly do whatever thing goes forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of food, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we ceased to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have lacked all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her without our husbands?" So as the wives are saying, "Our husbands agreed with what we were doing." They didn't say no. And then in verse 20 says, "Then Jeremiah," so Jeremiah's going to make a response on behalf of the Lord. So it says, "Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people who had given him that answer, saying, 'The incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind?'" He says, well, now look at it. He says, "Aren't you aware of the fact that the Lord saw you doing this? So that the Lord could no longer bear, that the Lord couldn't put up with it any longer. He couldn't bear it any longer. He couldn't put up with it because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, and a horror, and a curse, without an inhabitant, as at this day." Notice it's not because you stopped worshiping the Queen of Heaven, it's because the Lord has been fed up with it, and he's the one that sent Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 23, "Because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, 'Hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, You and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, We will surely perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour our drink offerings unto her. You will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. What that means is, they're never going to cry, the Lord lives, in the sense that he is going to help us. Because the concept is, from this point on, the Lord will not help them any longer. So verse 27 says, behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah who are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. You see, time will tell who's right and who's wrong. You see, a lot of people are saying, there's going to be peace. You know, Gorbachev is such a good man. He's different than all the other, leaders that they've had in the Kremlin. But a lot of Christians are saying, no, the Bible says that war is coming. All right, if they don't receive it, time will tell who is right. And it's the same way, there were a lot of people that were anticipating the coming of the Lord. Not that it was, a definite thing, but there was a great anticipation on the part of many Christians throughout the world that the Lord would come in 88. Well, he didn't come, but the thing is, it also may have been a very near miss. And the coming of the Lord is very near, and so therefore, time will tell who's right and who is wrong. So then in verse 29 it says, and this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah the king of Judah into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and who sought his life. And so this, of course, did take place. In the Babylonian records, it gives the exact year that they came against Egypt, and the words of Jeremiah were perfectly fulfilled. And then there's a short little chapter of only five verses here in chapter 45, and it concerns this Baruch. Kind of a strange little chapter. Baruch must have been a very, very intelligent man. He's a man of some prestige. And sometimes people of prestige, they will seek men of God, but it's kind of like for their own glory in a way. And Baruch may have been around Jeremiah, but he had kind of high-minded thoughts for his own future. And so there's a little bit of a warning that comes here. So it says in 45:1, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto Baruch the son of Neriah when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah king of Judah, saying. So in other words, this is a flashback now. This is a little, kind of like a little parenthesis, like a little P.S. that concerns this particular man, Baruch. This is not the time sequence. So we're this is a flashback in time. So verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And verse 5, and seekest thou great things for thyself? So the Lord here is asking Baruch, he says, and seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prize in all the places to which thou goest. He says, so in other words, the Lord warns Baruch. He says, Baruch, you're kind of a self-seeking man, and you kind of have great, you have visions of grandeur, but be careful, don't seek that grandeur. But nevertheless, he says, I promise you, I guess because he was good to Jeremiah and did his writing for him, he says that I promise you that you will not lose your life. You'll be able to have it, keep it, save it, and you won't die. That's all we'll take for tonight. There's just one little, two comments that I might make before we close. One comment is, that is really the end of the prophecies that we have for Judah and Jerusalem and its inhabitants. From here on in now, the Lord has a few words to say about the neighboring nations. And you'll find these, I think, quite interesting. particularly the Lord is going to punish Babylon for having punished Judah. Very interesting. But we'll get to that shortly. Now, another thing that I'd like to mention is, you might say, well, now, whatever happened to Jeremiah? Well, there's two views, two traditions, you might say. One tradition is that Jeremiah was stoned to death in Egypt. He died in Egypt, and he was stoned to death there, probably by his own people. That's one tradition. Another tradition is that when Nebuchadnezzar came to Egypt, he still knew of Jeremiah, and he took Jeremiah and his secretary Baruch to Babylon, and both of them died in Babylon. But which of the two is correct, I do not know, but those are two of the Hebrew traditions. Okay, let's stand, please, and we'll reconsecrate our lives to the Lord. If there's anybody here tonight or someone that may be listening to this tape sometime and you want Jesus, all you need to do is believe in him with your heart, that he is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. So why don't you say this prayer after me? And if you say this with your heart, I want Jesus, it will make all the difference between heaven or hell, because there's nothing that we can do by being good that will make us right in God's eyes. The only thing that will make us right in God's eyes is by confessing our sins and by receiving Jesus into our hearts and trusting what Jesus did at Calvary rather than trusting our own good works. So say this after me. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
Wash me clean with your blood.
Wash me clean with your blood.
I fear not going unto you, Jesus.
I fear not going unto you, Jesus.
Because I know.
Because I know.
You will refuse no one.
You will refuse no one.
Who comes with a humble heart.
Who comes with a humble heart.
Jesus, I believe that you are the very Son of the living God.
Jesus, I believe that you are the very Son of the living God.
And I believe that God raised you from the dead.
And I believe that God raised you from the dead.
On the third day.
On the third day.
Jesus, be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
You guide my life.
You guide my life.
Your plan.
Your plan.
Is so much better than my own. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you said that prayer from your heart, by the Word of God, you are instantly born again, and you are a member of the family of God for both time and eternity. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.